Hey, welcome to the Whole Person Podcast. I am your host, Evan Herman, and today you get to hear or watch a conversation between me and one of my best friends, Anthony Randolph. And why it's important for you to stick around and listen is because we're going to talk about what it means to have the presence of God in your life and the practical steps of what that looks like and whether or not success is dependent on what we do versus actually surrendering to the presence of God. And then also, we're going to talk about the metamorphosis of relationships and friendships and how that plays into your own individual success, as well as your ability to equate and grow and learn and practice God's presence himself. So you're not going to want to miss this episode. Anthony, welcome to the show. How are you?
Well, Evan, first of all, thank you, man. I appreciate the opportunity. I'm on the Whole Person Podcast. Wow, something special, man. I'm grateful, and I'm excited to have this conversation with you, man. Let's get into it.
Absolutely. So to start us off, you recently wrote a book called Successful, and you can find it on Amazon. What was your mindset in, like, you know what? I want to articulate on paper what it means to be successful. Why did you have that drive to do that?
Man, that's a really good question. So first of all, I had that question burning in my own heart. What does it mean to be successful? Because when life, you end up in situations where life puts you and you kind of question, am I successful? Have I accomplished what I should have, quote unquote, at this age? And I found myself at a job that I didn't necessarily want to be at. You know, honestly, I was making less money than I was making previously. I had a great opportunity that I was doing, coaching soccer full time. I loved that. And I was so privileged. And I was at my first major soccer club doing that.
And I felt that had been a dream of yours for years.
Correct.
I want to hint on that.
Yeah. Like, that had been
you were doing something finally that was a dream of yours.
You are so right. And I was doing something that was a dream of mine. And I at first had my first full-time job doing it. And I moved from Atlanta, Georgia. Well, Warner Robins, Georgia. I say Atlanta because not everybody knows where Warner Robins is. I moved to Tulsa, Oklahoma. And I did that for a full season. And I enjoyed it. And I felt like as the season was ending, I felt like the Lord was telling me, Anthony, there's more in you. And I'm like, well, Lord, I'm doing it. I don't need to do more. Like, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm feeling successful. And through that, I felt like the Lord was like, yeah, but there's more. You can reach more people. You can do more. And I'm like, Lord, I'm good. I'm enjoying this. And I don't know if you've heard of it. I'm pretty sure you have. But where people say the grace was lifting, you understand what I mean by that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It means that regardless of how much you try to stay there, you're getting moved on.
I love that. So I was in a meeting with some of the people that run the club, and they were telling me, hey, what I was going to do for next season. And I said, oh, okay, you know, I was kind of excited about it. And when they told me that you're going to do this, I felt sick to my stomach for next season. I was like, oh my gosh, I don't know. I haven't felt this in a long time. And I was like, God, what is this? And I felt like the Lord told me, he said, Anthony, you can do this. You can go on and do next season. Just know I won't be with you. And that hit home. Like, Lord, I don't want to do anything without you. And so I talked to my wife, and I was like, hey, that's what I feel like the Lord has asked me to do. She said, okay, what do you feel like is next? I'm like, I have no idea. I just know I feel like he's going to call me to speak and to coach people and stuff like that. So I left that opportunity. Opportunity instead of job. I left that opportunity in May of 2023 this year, and it's like, okay, Lord, what's next? Had a friend say, hey, I'm doing this business. Would you like to come help me be a part of it? I said, yeah, sure. Because I felt like that. I was like, Lord, this is what you want me to do. But yeah, do it. So I do that, and I found myself in a place where I was questioning if I was successful because it felt like less than what I expected. I was making less. I was put in a customer service, back in the customer service industry, where a lot of times people can be treated very differently, because sometimes people feel like, because you're in customer service, that they're in entitlement, basically. So I found myself literally questioning, is there more? And am I successful? Because I went almost to a little, I felt myself kind of drifting to a little bit of a depression, like, God, you brought me out here to do this, and now I feel like I'm failing. And I felt like through this experience that I've had with this opportunity that I've had, God has really brought me to a place where I found myself writing. And I didn't see myself as a writer. That was not something I saw myself doing. In fact, if you read some of my papers in high school, you could, in college, you could definitely tell you I was not supposed to be a writer. But that being said, I started writing by hand, like kind of what I felt like God was giving me. So I wrote it down, and I kind of came to the conclusion that success was not just what you can do or the job you can have or the opportunities you'll get. Success is purpose. And I found myself in this new opportunity that I have. I was coaching people. I wasn't doing it on a soccer field anymore, but I was doing it in a place where I'm like, oh, coaching is more than just on the soccer field. Coaching is people in faith and business and different opportunities that are bigger than just what I could do for the small team, the team that I have. So started writing that book, and I remember the people that I was working with at this other job or opportunity, and they started saying, what are you writing every day? We see you out here writing every day. What are you doing? I said, I feel like I'm writing a book. I said, okay, cool. But when you finish writing this book, let us know, because we're going to buy it. I'm like, hold on. You want to buy a book that I haven't even written yet? They're like, yes, I want to buy it. And shout out to you, you even bought it too. And so,
you're my boy. I have to.
For sure. For sure. Appreciate that.
And I read it. And I read it. I didn't just buy it. I did read it.
Shout out to you. You're a real one for that. So I found myself at a place where I was now writing a book, and I was getting a little more inspiration, because people were like, you should write this. You should continue to do this. So I write the book. I finish it. Get it published through that process. And start putting the book out, and more after the book was written, I realized that I was becoming more successful because I was walking my purpose. I was coaching people. I was leading people. I was, you know, mentoring people. I was helping people become their personal best. And that's what my passion was when I was coaching in the soccer field. Yeah, I enjoyed the X's and O's, but more importantly, I enjoyed working with the people, helping them, seeing at the end of the season, or them having their aha moment where they go, I get this now. I get what you're asking me to do. I get. And that would give me more joy than even winning some games. In fact, losing and winning games actually stressed me out. But what gave me the joy was seeing people have that sparkle in their eye because they found, oh, this is what I'm here for. I know why I've gone through this because of da-da-da-da. And me being a part of that process was something that allowed me to write the book, and then seeing people read it and hearing that it gave them the questions, asked them the questions that they needed to ask themselves to start their journey towards success.
So what I love about your story is you're not arrived, you're in process.
Yes.
And that's very relatable to everyone, because I don't think we ever arrive.
No.
So let me just summarize what I feel like you're just saying. You were in a job that you've strived for your entire life.
Yeah.
You reached the pinnacle. Well, I shouldn't say the pinnacle, but for the first time, a higher level of coaching than you've ever coached. And in your mind, like, this is, I'm reaching that level of success.
Yeah.
And then you're asked basically like, hey, you can do this, but I'm not going to be with you on this. I'm going to redefine what success looks like for you.
Yeah.
And so then you give up the very thing that you feel like you've been striving for your whole life. And now you're doing something that, in all honesty, it's a customer service job. It's hard work. I've done it with the exact same company. And right now you are stewarding being a valet of people's cars.
Yeah.
And that doesn't look glamorous. That doesn't sound successful. That doesn't sound like you're in the process of being redefined into something meaningful. But as you're in it, aka you've maybe already gone through the wilderness, like the children of Israel, but this could be the Jericho, this could be the Red Sea, this could be a different moment where, all right, God, well, I'm going to do this and expect you to show up and redefine what success looks like. Because oftentimes when we're in battles, God goes before us and fights us. And it sounds like in your moment, this is something that God is asking you to lay down. It's more like a Abraham and Isaac moment where you've sacrificed the idea of coaching soccer. And so now you're wondering, okay, am I successful? By all Americanized standards, I've taken a pay cut.
Yep.
I don't have a high status job of coaching traveling soccer like I did. It's a less successful job, quote unquote, by American standards. So it feels like a demotion and a demotion and a demotion. Anthony, have you ever read the book Practicing the Presence of God?
That is a book you've given me.
It is. Yes. Have you read it?
I've read half of it. It's a small, short read. I've read half of it.
So the monk, Brother Lawrence, got injured in a war. And then when he came out of war, he was trying to figure out what to do with his life.
Yeah.
He felt like he really couldn't provide for himself, so he went into the monastery. He became the accountant, basically. But he was terrible at math. So he got demoted to being the cook.
Yeah.
He was terrible at cooking. So they demoted him to being the person to run, get groceries.
Yeah.
Well, because of his injury, he was so slow, so he never brought the food back on time to be cooked on time. So then he got demoted to cleaner so that he would clean up and he would do the dishes. But it was in that he started experiencing the presence of God in every area of his life.
Yeah.
And people from all around the world heard about this, and people were traveling to meet this dishwasher. And he talks about that in the letters that he's penned.
Man, that is such a profound perspective. And that is, wow. The correlation that you brought was very good, because I feel like that was what I was walking through, that place of, all right, like you said, redefining success. And success is not what you can do, not what you've done, not where you are. It is, for me personally, success is purpose, but more importantly, obedience. Like, are you willing to say yes? Are you willing to lay that down? Are you willing to, okay, Lord, I don't know what it is or what it will look like, but my eyes are on you. And I'm going to go for what you're saying and what you're doing. And I'm going to trust, even though it's hard. And there's days where I was pissed. You know, like, I'm like, this ain't it, Lord. I know you asked me to do this, but this is not it.
Yeah.
I don't see this. I don't see how this is working. And coming to the place where it's like, or regardless, I would rather have you and be here than not have you and have all the stuff. Because the stuff, you know, what I kind of came to the conclusion is the stuff and the accolades are only as good until they're not as good. You know, because then you have to, especially as a coach, you win one game, people are excited for you for a day. And then the next time when you lose, they're like, what's going on? But being able to step away from that and realize what I've learned through writing this book and really coming to the place of, man, the more I'm after his presence, the more I become successful. And the more people I can impact, and the more people he'll allow into my life so that I can coach them into helping them become successful, help them realign, or as you said, redefine their success to more than what I can do. But am I doing what I like to say is what I was here for? So I'm here to coach people, and I can do it in many, many different facets.
Ibra, edit what I'm currently saying out, but there's a couple spots that Anthony talked about that would make some good shorts. One being that being in the presence of God is successful. That make that one a short. And then before that, where he talked about the very similar thing as well. So those would be two good shorts. And then I was actually going to say the same thing, but he kind of beat me to it. So I'm going to say it also, and then you can make that a short as well. Okay. And I'm going to stop talking here. So there's this part in the Bible where Moses is in the desert with the children of Israel.
Yeah.
And by day, there is a cloud of smoke. Mm-hmm. And by night, there's a pillar of fire mm-hmm. hovering over the camp where the temple is mm-hmm. in the Holy of Holies. And when Israel is moving from one place to the next, they would be led by the presence and manifestation of that presence of God.
Yeah.
But Moses said to God, God, if you don't go before us, then we don't want to follow. We want to be where you are at. Mm-hmm. When he was talking about getting ready for them to go into the promised land or even in another new location as they're wandering in the wilderness, because success was where the presence of God is.
Come on.
And as long as they were in the presence of God, they were in success.
Come
they
on.
Were in peace. They were in the area of life that they were called to be. So for Anthony, or for you, regardless of where you're at geographically or in your job, as long as you're in the presence of God, you have success. You are in the place that you are called to be, regardless of what your circumstance or situations look like. Mm-hmm. That'll preach.
Preach! I was trying not to go a little crazy over here, man. I was trying to relax. I know we're friends. So I was trying to, like, let him just finish. Let him finish. Hey, man. I almost shouted, but I was like, can't do on the whole person.
Shouting
like,
around the room?
I know.
I fell. For those of you that aren't watching, I was leaning on my chair and I just slipped off.
Oh, that'll preach. Amen.
Ugh.
We gotta do the podcast. We're gonna be over laughing the whole time.
Right.
Oh, let me ask
Anthony,
you. Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, you go for it. Ask the question.
Okay. So we were talking about, you know, finding peace in the presence of God and finding success in the presence of God. Okay. As you were talking, man, it just really kind of hit home about that is success. And a lot of times, especially during when I'm doing podcasts and stuff like that, I don't say that a lot because I know the audience of people who may be finding themselves in the presence of God and they're on their journey to find out who God is for themselves. And so being able to, like you said, navigate and continue to walk and trust that the Lord, where he has you, is success. Because if you're trying to lead people like Moses without the presence of God, good luck, man. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
So how do we entertain and see the presence of God? How do we know of its awareness?
I'll give you what I personally do, because I know everybody pretty may have their own. And I want to ask you after this, I want to ask your thoughts too. So I would say, for me personally, what I do is I ask a lot of questions. Because when you're asking, this is what the Lord personally told me. One day I was feeling like, Lord, I don't feel like I sense you. I don't feel like, I don't know where you are. And he asked me, he goes, Anthony, yes. And he goes, as long as you're still asking questions, that means you're still pursuing. When you're not asking mm-hmm. questions, you should be worried because you feel like you have it down. And so for me, asking questions, Lord, do I still have your heart? Is that still in me? If not, give me clean hands and a pure heart. Staying in worship. Like, and I don't mean song, but I mean like my heart posture is ready for whatever you want to say. I'm listening. This is something that I personally told the Lord. He has access to our life, my wife and I's life. He has access to my life. Lord, whatever you want to do, you have complete access. So what that means for me personally is, Lord, come in when you please. Don't leave. Kick your shoes off. Relax. Be a part. And then lastly, making it a point to be around people who, especially in the season of my life where it's been a lot going on, who will ask the questions, where are you? Like, how are you doing? What's really going on? Because if you look at like any people, I'll use the story of Elijah in the Bible. Elijah, after he did prayed for rain, the rain comes. Jezebel puts out a threat. I will kill you if you know, and blah, blah. You know the story. So he left his servant there, and it says he traveled into the wilderness. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we can go into our own self-induced wilderness where we're tired. Things haven't gone like we thought they would. And we see Elijah go into the wilderness, and the Lord had literally had to, give him food and water. Send an angel, like, angel, wake up here, drink this, eat this food and water. And he traveled to the mountain of God. And the Lord asked him, like, what are you doing here? Because sometimes when we think we're going after purpose, what it can actually be is our own agenda. And sometimes we don't recognize it because we're so tired. And we're tired because we've tried to do a lot of things in our own strength. And I'm not saying the rain fell because he didn't know. No, he prayed. He asked God to do that, and the rain fell. But if he had kept his community around him, can you imagine his servant who had been with him to say, oh, you're going to run into the wilderness? Hold on, you just killed all these prophets of Baal. Rain just fell. Yeah. And now you're going to run into the wilderness? Okay, tell me, did the Lord tell you to go into the wilderness? No, I just need to run. Well, why? What are you doing here? And sometimes if we're not careful and we don't have the people around us, we'll take off and we'll run. Mm-hmm. And we'll think that because we're running and God shows up, that's success. Maybe you're running a business and you're like, I'm doing all this and da da da. And really, if we looked at it, you're super tired. You haven't read your Bible. You're like, and there's all these different things but on the outside, you look super successful.
Right.
But if we're not careful, we could find ourselves in that desert place wondering.
How many examples of men who are crazy rich but have lost their family do we have?
Come on.
How many men or teachers or people who look successful but are very unhealthy? Mm-hmm. How many people do we see that have a great family but are struggling financially?
Mm-hmm.
You know, success looks different for every person, but there's a whole person approach to it.
Come
where
on.
There's a balance between it all.
Yeah.
And sometimes we can live out of balance for one thing within a season because it makes other things better.
Mm-hmm.
But to live consistently out of, I don't want to say balance, but to extremes. Like if a plane flew at extremes, it would be a very unpleasant ride. But a plane is consistently out of balance and it's consistently making micro adjustments.
That's good.
Mark Cuban, I was interviewing Mark Cuban once,
mm-hmm.
and I asked how he became so successful and how does he balance everything. And he said it's because he lives out of balance for so many years in business that allowed him to live in balance in every area moving forward. So what I'm saying is there is a season to live out of balance, but that's only for the benefit of the other things in life. You know, if you're struggling in your health, live out of balance towards getting yourself healthy, because it's going to help your family. It's going to help your financial status in the future. Sometimes we are in extreme situations where we need to live out of balance. But when we are doing better and we're healthier in those areas, then we can start looking into other areas. But going back to what you said, Anthony, when I asked you the question about how do we get in the presence of God, one of the things that you brought up was community. You used the example of how Elijah went off into the wilderness and left his servant. I 100% agree with you. When we look at when the Holy Spirit fell on the disciples, they were in community praying.
That's good.
When we look at when God added people to the church in the book of Acts, they were corporately together.
Come on.
When we see great moves of faith or healing or deliverance, it's always done in community. It is always done. So community is huge. There is a law, a universal law, that has been brought to light through Jim Rohn, which says you are the average of the five closest people you hang out with in your life. And so hang out with people who experience the presence of God.
Come on.
Another area is through prayer and devotion time and journaling.
Yep.
Those areas of spiritual discipline allow us to step into God's presence and to see it, because we're not focused on everything else around us, because what we focus on expands. So if you focus on the presence of God, you will start to see the presence of God. Another area that we can see the presence of God in our life. So we talked about community. We talked about prayer. You can see the presence of God through his word. And then the other aspect of that is then also prayer and worship. So those are Christian disciplines that we can do. But here's what's unique. So many times, Anthony, we feel like we have to set aside time to do prayer. We have to set aside time to read the Bible. I read my Bible through Audible on an app a lot of times. Brother Lawrence the monk, he was practicing the presence of God while washing dishes. We can practice the presence of God in every moment of our life.
Yeah.
We do not need to set just a specific time. Yes, have those.
Yeah.
But if you feel guilty, condemned, and shamed because you don't have them, then that's actually not of God. That's Satan.
Yeah.
Because the presence of God is with us wherever we go.
Yeah.
The manifestation of it is if we recognize his presence in our everyday life and in our everyday existence. So the other aspect of this interview, Anthony, is friendship. You know, we talked about community. You and I have been friends since 2005? 2006?
Met at Ori.
Somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we met at a weekend at ORU when they were having prospective students on campus. And we met at basically a Meet the College weekend. And I went to ORU and you didn't end up going, but we stayed friends because we met there.
Yeah.
And something that I think something that I really love about our friendship, it was hard and it was probably hurtful to both of us at the time. Like, we've gone through some really hard times in our friendship where there was a season where we both laid the friendship down for like 2 or 3 years. And we kind of gave it up.
Yeah.
And then God brought forgiveness, grace, and healing in both of our hearts and repentance and brought us back together as friends again. We've gone through multiple hard cycles of friendship.
Yeah,
I'm not the easiest person to get along with. Ask my wife. I mean, that just this morning, it was difficult. But through that process, Anthony, I'm so grateful for your friendship, and something that means a lot to me in our friendship is how you consistently are pursuing God and what's best, what his desire is in your life. And because of that, you know, as we're both growing on this journey, why that's important to me as your friend is because I get to see my friend pursue God's heart and God's will for his life. And like the psalmist says, Proverbs? It's Proverbs. Irons sharpen iron, so one man sharpens another. And so when you live by examples, even within your own friendship, it's encouraging. And so I want to say to you, it is highly encouraging to see you do those things. And as you're on this journey of growing, your podcast, your coaching. So I was laughing earlier. There's this video on YouTube and social. It's like, hey, you're posting this content. Why aren't you famous yet? And the guy goes, because you didn't share my shit. Like, you know, and what I realized is that, like, I have, when I was in real estate, when I do this, I have a lot of friends like, oh, that's cool, you should do it. But they just don't share it. They just don't do that extra step. And so a lot of my growth and probably a lot of your growth comes from people who don't even know you.
Yeah.
And as your friend, I am dedicated to your success as well. And you want friends who aren't just good examples, but are dedicated to your success, because that is the example we see in the book of Acts when people sold their possessions so that they could help those within their own community that were in need.
Come on.
They were committed to each other's success.
Yeah.
And when you have friendships that are committed to each other's success, that is a great friendship to have.
Yeah.
And so, Anthony, I'm proud of you, my friend. And I'm so grateful for our friendship. I want you to know that.
No, it means a lot. And like I said, I want to take what you were just saying, and I want to let's add to that. Let's go a little deeper into that. So let's give, like, people say it like this. Let's give people handles on how to do that, because something that has happened for us recently, and I think you'd be okay with me sharing, is I had to learn how to be more honest and say, hey, this is where I am in my life. Like, and one thing I respected from you, and I realized that a lot of times I was operating out of a fear of people, a fear of people's opinion, a fear of people's letting people down, fear of different things like that, basically fear of man. And so I had to come to a place where I literally had to text you. I'm like, hey, this is where I'm at in my life. Da 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 da. Do you still want to be friends? Like, because I don't know how to communicate. I've never done this before. And one thing I appreciate about you is you were like, hey, thanks. You know, appreciate you telling me that. I can respect that. Because as a person that is growing and trying to become the whole person, like, it is great to have people in your life that will allow that. Because not everybody will allow that. As soon as you out, because you can outgrow people, you know, where they stop growing and you continue to grow, and if you're hanging around them enough, they will try to bring you back down to a level. So one thing I appreciate about you is you are still pursuing God. And I see what you're doing with this podcast, what you're doing in ministry, what you're doing to help people, what you're doing in your family, what you're doing in our friendship. And man, like, let's talk about, like, what are some practical things that we've had to do to continue to grow as friends?
I think the biggest one is we've had to give each other forgiveness.
Yes.
And multiple times in our relationship. Like, we've both wronged each other hurtfully many times. And probably me so more than you.
No, bro. It's the other way.
Okay, fine. Equally. We both hurt each other equally.
50-50. 49-50. 50-50.
Yeah. Right. Somewhere on there. And because of it, we have taken some sabbaticals in our relationship.
Yeah.
But we've also always forgiven each other.
Yeah.
I've never wanted ill will towards you. Sometimes I've been mad at you for years.
Say, bro.
But I still love you, and I still, you know, we still forgive each other.
Eventually. But
then there's just this realize, like, you know, do I want to be mad at this guy the rest of my life, or do I value who he is and want him in my life, you know?
Yeah,
you,
for sure.
Anthony, I can honestly say this, like, you are the one of the longest friends I've had. And I still consider you, like, in terms of my best friends, bro, like, you're still there. You know, I've only ever had one best man, and you were it.
Let's keep
going. And exactly. I hope so. Praise God. You're going to have to ask my wife if she still wants to be married to me. After this morning, I don't know. We had a blowout fight this morning.
Yeah.
We haven't had any fights for a while, but we had two, one this weekend and the one this morning.
Yeah.
Around the same subject, and it just, anyway, I'm human, y'all. But we've allowed forgiveness.
Yeah.
And then I think another thing too is, I think we've allowed each other to process stuff. So like, I think one of the more recent things that hurt me is in this time of changing for you, you took a step back from our friendship. And I'm like, dude, it was just getting good again. Like, we've been talking to each other for a few years, and now you moved to Tulsa. We're in the same area. Like, dude, let's hang out.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I've been hanging out with you a little bit, and I can't right now.
Yeah.
I need to do something. And I still fully don't understand it, but you know, I'm gonna let you do what you need to do, and I'm still gonna text the crap out of you, you know, because I value our friendship. And so, even when I'll be honest, even when I don't have to, like, I don't feel like this is probably the best decision, but it is his decision, and I will pursue our friendship less, but I'm still going to pursue it.
Yeah, for sure. And
so even when I felt like maybe some of that was like, I got it. And so let me say this. I think in more recently, when we haven't hung out as much over the past year, like, there's some stuff that you need to grow and learn through relationally outside of having me as a friend here. You need to develop more relationships and more friends and stuff like that. Cool. I get that. But I also wasn't going to let you lose me as a friend. And in part, I felt like you were pushing me away a little bit. Yeah. And so I wasn't actually going to let you push me away. That was my line in the sand for me. It's like, all right, yeah, you go do that, but I'm not going to let you push me away as a friend. And so that was, I think, where I was like, all right, I see what he needs, and he's probably overcorrecting a little bit. So I'm going to give him what he needs, but I'm not going to let him push too far, because I'm not going to let this relationship get pushed away. So,
yeah.
I think those were the couple of things. And then also, you and I both desire the Lord. We both desire spiritual growth. And because of that, we have a common interest in both doing well, wanting good for each other. I think those are like the three main things that have helped our friendship, even in the midst of adversity, to grow.
Yeah.
What about you? What are your thoughts about our friendship?
Yeah. Yeah. And so, what I've learned through it is grace, and how to, we both, like you said, have had to grow in ways where it's like, all right, am I going to be mad forever? Like, is this, or do I, where do I need to forgive and let go and give grace and give space? And then also learning how to forgive, like you said, and then being able to be honest. And that is something that I realized from talking to you, that I was not being very honest with a lot of people. Like, I was trying to, like I said earlier, impress people. I've got this image. And really what was going on inside me was I was dying, because I was like dying inside, not physically, but
metaphorically.
Metaphoric, thank you. Because I was trying to do a lot of stuff to impress people. And what you realize is, the more people you can try to impress, they realize that they're not really impressed with you. They're trying to impress you. You know? And so,
right.
Being able to be honest, like, hey, this is where I'm at in my life. Like, hey. And the fact that you were like, I respect that. Like, I love you. I'm like, oh, that's different. Because usually it's like, you know how it can end multiple different ways. But being able to give grace, be honest, and then like forgive. Those are three things that I've seen you model. And because it was unique, because I feel like as I've come to Tulsa, I've really had to find who Anthony is. And I realized I'd lost that guy a long time ago. You know, trying to being in ministry, working in churches, where you learn how to do a lot of Christian stuff, but you maybe don't really understand who God is for yourself. And I feel like as I've been in Tulsa this year, especially stepping away from, more recently, stepping away from the soccer, I've started to find out who God is, and I started to be okay with just being Anthony and not feeling like I have to be Anthony with stuff, Anthony with this great opportunity, Anthony with...
That is something that I, as your friend, was noticing, is that you're going through this change. And here's my assumption, and you can tell me if I'm correct or not. But I felt like, because we had a conversation, we were like, Evan, let's just back off of our friendship a little bit. Not that I wanted to let it go, but hey, man, let's like not talk to each other for a while. And I'm thinking like, what the hell, dude? Like, what's going on?
I didn't know how to say it. But I didn't know how to say it, bro.
No, I know, but I'm thinking to myself, okay, what is causing this? And so this is where I was like, all right, I think you, and from what we're saying, I'm pretty sure is now correct, but let me know, is that you were going through this metamorphosis of like becoming a newer version of yourself, a better version of yourself. Mm-hmm. And you were letting old things die off and letting new things come in. And I was on this pedestal of, am I going to be an old thing or is Evan going to be a new thing? And so it's because you and I have known each other for a long time. And since you're reevaluating, like, all right, I don't want these things in my life anymore. I'm growing. I'm walking into a new era of my life. I was on that chopping block of, is this, will this go or will this stay? Is what I was perceiving, which is why I was like, no, I hear his heart. We're going the same direction. I'm still going to harass him every few weeks. Might not be hanging out, but I'll still text him every few weeks. Do you love me? Are we still friends? Send. I miss you. No, I'm kidding. I didn't send him like that. But...
No, but
But am I right?
I didn't know how to communicate it. Like, there's no book. I mean, there's pretty sure there's books on it, but I hadn't read a book on or had seen it modeled. I didn't know what it looked like. Yeah. I mean, even going in my marriage, I didn't know how to be married. You can go to marriage counseling all you want to, but then you have real life. And I'm plugging marriage counseling. I'm in marriage counseling with my wife. So, that being said,
everyone needs that.
Yes. Very, very good. I'm in counseling for myself, too. So, learning how to identify, maybe this will help somebody. Learning how to identify and deal with my own emotions. A lot of times when I responded in fear, it was more, when I responded in anger, it was more because I was afraid. I responded more when I pushed like this because I didn't know how to even communicate. I don't know what God's doing in my life, and I'm afraid. And I've just learned how to say that to God, like within 6 months. And I've been a Christian since 2004. And so a lot of stuff I've had to relearn about myself to become this whole person that I feel like God is developing, where I don't base success off of if I get a great job, have X amount of kids, drive a certain amount of cars, and have these kind of friends. I base success on, am I following his presence? How's my wife doing? How am I doing spiritually? Are we going after him together, corporately? And then all these things I'm seeing now are starting to follow. And the right people, because there was a lot of people in my life at the time when we were going through that, that I needed to step back from because they weren't growing anymore. Like, they were more of a hindrance than a help. And I didn't realize that until you step back and you realize, man, this person hasn't texted me in 6 months. And then when you talk to them, they're still at the same spot. They're like, oh yeah, I'm still going through this and I'm still doing that. And not that that's bad or whatever, everybody's growing at their own pace. But some people just stop and call it God. It's like, no, God's calling you further. Well, you know, Anthony, everybody has their own story. So that being said, what we went through was, like you said, I think you put it in perfect, was a metamorphosis. And I didn't even know how to describe what I was going through. Like, the Lord literally took me from a job I was loving into something where he's like, step out and do this. And I went through a period where I was questioning, is this the Lord? Did I miss him? Then I was questioning my own identity as a person. Like, come on, like, God, you brought me this far to do this? And then I was questioning, okay, what in my life needs to stay and what needs to go, like you said. Then I was questioning, Lord, you want me to write a book? How? For what? Who's going to read it? You know, all these different thought processes that you go through and you question. And then I kind of came to, more recently, I kind of came to this conclusion of, like we talked about earlier, Lord, I'm just going to follow you. I'm going to follow you. Wherever you lead, I'll go. And as I've done that, that's where I've found Anthony. And I hate talking third person, but that's where I found me. And I'm starting to see that the people that were there all the time, like, my wife sees me as a different person. I'm not angry all the time. Like, she knows me the best. You know, you're getting to see, like, this is a new Anthony. I'm not insecure like I was. I was so insecure. Like, I was so built off of the approval of people. Partly, and also because of the industry that I was in. Where if you lose a game, people are talking about you. If you win a game, people are talking about you. And I was built on that teeter-totter. Success, failure, win, lose, blah, blah, blah. And now being able to step away from that, I've realized, man, who I am is good enough. Who I am is good enough. Why? Because I'm loved by my father, heavenly. I'm loved by my earthly father. I'm secure. Hey, I'm secure. And I don't have to try to impress people to be who God made me to be. And that has been something I've come to the conclusion of.
I love it. Well, you can buy Anthony's book, Successful, on Amazon.com. And his last name is Randolph. And you can look him up on Facebook, Instagram. What else do you got?
X, TikTok.
On X, TikTok.
TikTok.
Twitter.
Facebook, YouTube, stuff like that. The socials.
Perfect. Anthony, man, thanks. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to tell you thank you. Thank you, man.
You bet, brother. I'm glad you came on. Well, have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon, okay, bro?
All right, man. Talk to you later.